anyone who believes that Jesus is risen from the dead and confesses him as Lord, Holy Spirit falls on and declares, come to me. You are welcome again.
More of him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. The truth is, we need a Savior. Our Christian walk requires knowing the truth about who Jesus is and the hope and healing He brings as that Savior. So if you have your Bible, we are in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48 for part 2 of the message, Stepping Through Needing a Savior. Here's Pastor Tim.
So Peter opened his mouth, verse 34. And he said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Anyone who is willing to come to Christ is acceptable to him. Anyone. Everybody say anyone. Don't miss this, man. Peter starts out and he's like, here's the message. I thought it was just to the Jews, but not anymore. I'm recognizing that anyone who is willing to come to Christ. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what sin you've been in. It's time to lay it down and give it to your God. Anyone who comes to Christ, saved, as we lean on him and believe in him. He's like, just so you know, any can be acceptable to God. And he says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. I love that little moment. It's in parentheses in many of the translations, like, hey, let's grasp this. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The first thing that I can tell you about the greatness of Christ, he is over everyone and everything. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of me. Is he Lord of you? Are you willing to let Jesus Christ be your God? He's like, let's grasp this. Jesus Christ, he is God over all. It says, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea. He's like, let me remind you, I'm going to be telling you some things you should have already heard. But here we go. Let's walk through some statements about Jesus Christ, beginning from Galilee, from the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He's going to actually tell seven things about Jesus here. And here's the first one. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good and healing. Jesus Christ. Let's grasp this. God the Son partnered with God the Holy Spirit, and a massive work started taking place all over Judea and Israel. Massive healing going on. Jesus literally being able to speak, can you imagine the conviction Peter was sharing with us? He was there for it. And he's like, I saw him speak and lives were rocked. I saw him share the truth of the word and people grasped it for the first time. His teaching was stunning. I saw him care for hurting people. I saw him reach out and touch a leper and the leprosy disappeared. I saw blind men all of a sudden see. I saw people who couldn't walk jump up laughing and dance around. I saw it. I saw the healing miracles as Jesus spoke and lives were rocked. I saw him call out a man's name, and that man who had passed away days before rose from the dead and came out living, laughing, breathing, eating, and sharing with us. I saw his family in total celebration over the authority of Jesus Christ. He heals. He moves. He rocks the world. Peter's conviction over the amazing hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and number one is, know this, Jesus Christ does bring healing. And he brings hope. Man, and maybe you're here today and you're devastated, either with your own sin or someone else's sin, maybe just with the heartaches of life. Know this, man. Jesus loves you with all he's got. and he brings a healing and a hope to this broken world. He is our amazing God. May we lean on him. Point number two, the second one, not the second point of the outline, okay? Don't move that fast. Seven truths about Jesus, the second of the seven truths in point number one. Ready? I heard all the pages flipping, and I'm like, everybody stop, right? All right, here we go. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. The second truth about Jesus, dude, I'm not the only one who saw it. There were tons of people who saw this. I'm telling you, it's true. It's not just some rumor. I was there. Others were there. Truth about Jesus Christ, he does heal. Truth about Jesus Christ, and there are many witnesses to it. You can count on Jesus. Know this. There are a ton of witnesses, Peter being one of them. It says, in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, like up to the north of Israel and all the way down into the center of Israel to the city of Jerusalem. And the third truth about Jesus, he says, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Man, we need to grasp this truth about Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty. He came into this world. He speaks and things happen. He loves you and he pours it on. He brings healing and hope and more than that. And we are in desperate need of a Savior. We are sinners. We are broken. We are hurting. We are in need. We sin. We do wrong things. We come short of the glory of God. Just think back to this past week and some things you may have done that devastated someone, or this past year or even your lifetime, and the collection of our stuff. Our sin is a mess. We need a Savior. And literally, there is nothing we can do that is good enough to get right with Jesus Christ. But he offers merciful forgiveness on the cross. Praise God. And all of God's people said. And Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He is perfect. Everybody say he's perfect. And yet they treated him as if he was the worst of all sinners. And they crucified him on the cross. They hung him there. Just know this. Jesus at any moment could have stopped the entire process and said, this is a joke and it's over. He chose to allow himself to go to the cross for you and for me. He gives us hope as his blood poured out for us, as he was crucified on the cross to offer a replacement payment for our sin. We have hope. And the next one, not just they hung him on a cross, but number four, God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. God made him raised from the dead. Jesus Christ rose. He didn't just speak and have others come back from the dead. Jesus himself has power over death. He rose from the dead. Know this, man. Jesus is alive. And all of God's people said, don't miss it. Jesus is alive. When Peter was asked to speak about the truth of Jesus Christ, he's like, I'm telling you, he was awesome. I'm telling you, stunning. I'm telling you, he moved. I'm telling you, there were witnesses. I'm telling you, he died for you. And I'm telling you, he is alive. He is risen from the dead, Jesus Christ. There is hope in him, the one who can conquer spiritual death and the one who can conquer physical death. And the fifth truth that he shared about him is not only did he rise from the dead, but it says he made him to appear not to all the people, but to those who had been chosen by God as witnesses. And he's like, just so we're clear, after he rose from the dead, that's not a rumor either. There were over 500 of us who saw him, who ate with him, who lived with him. In fact, he says, we saw him after he rose from the dead, some of those chosen by God, it says, as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Why is that a big deal? Because it is the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hear me. He did conquer physical death. Jesus, he died for you on the cross because he loves you. And he rose from the dead, giving a conquering of death that we might be offered up eternal life if we trust in him. Man, he is our hope. And as Peter is asked to share out the truths about Jesus Christ, he's like, I'm telling you this, he is alive and we were witnesses. We ate with him, we spoke with him, we laughed with him. I watched the fish before him get eaten by him and disappear. He is alive, he is real, and he exists, Jesus Christ. May we grasp it with all we've got. It says, number 6, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Let that settle for a moment. Peter's like, I'm fired up about Jesus who's so awesome. And then he gets to the 6th one. And know this, this isn't just some nice story. This isn't just some information. Jesus Christ is the creator God of the universe, and he will ultimately sit as judge over all of creation. We must give account for our sin. We must give account for who we are. And we give account to Jesus Christ, the one who is the judge of the living and the dead. And do you grasp that here today? That we give account to Jesus Christ, the one who is the judge of the living and the dead. He is ultimately who we will answer to. May God get all the glory. May we celebrate him as our Savior. Our hope is not in our own goodness. It's not in us trying to be good enough. It's not in my works trying to balance out my bad. It is in me realizing none of it comes up enough, and I lay it down before my God and I cry out for forgiveness, and Jesus' work on the cross becomes what replaces what I owe. My hope when I stand before the living judge is that I get to say these words. I believe in you and I have trusted in you. You alone are my Savior, and that is my hope. Amen, man. That's it. That's the only hope we have, is being able to declare to Christ, I have believed in you. It's not some mental assent. It's, Lord, I'm letting you be in charge of my life. You are Lord of all. Please take over my world. And then the 7th piece. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Men, we must admit that we are a sinner. A. We must admit, I'm not perfect. I do come up short. I've come up short of the glory of God. We must admit that. We must believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Believe that he is risen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? And then we must confess him as Lord. You're in charge of my life. Take over. And that's saved. I admit I am a sinner. I believe you are risen. And I confess, take over in my life. You be in charge. It is so important that we grasp that in Jesus Christ alone, there can be forgiveness of sins. May we believe in him and put our hope in him. May God get all the glory. You might be here this morning and you're like, I do believe, I'm in on this. This is awesome, praise God. And that's awesome. You might be here this morning and you're like, I don't know where I stand with Christ. And here's my request. Take a moment right now and right here in this place to be willing to say, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to hear from you. I'm willing to have my heart opened up to who you are. It might look a little something like this. I'll give an illustration. So this past week, I was actually on the phone, and my wife said, Tim, I need you to come upstairs. So I came running upstairs. Usually when I'm on the phone, she knows I'm on the phone talking to somebody, she can tell something's going on. And so for her to ask me to come up, something pretty serious is going on. So I come up, and she's like, I can't get the garage door open at all. Like, it won't open. I'm like, okay, let me call you back. I hung up with who I was on the phone with, and I went out there, and I said, okay, press the button. She presses the button. It opens up like 2 inches, freezes. Like, that's it. runk, and it's stuck. And then she pushes the button again, and it goes down. And it won't, I go out there, I'm like, well, maybe I'll help it, we'll see. She pushes the button, and I'm trying to help, like, it's going nowhere. I mean, and I'm strong, right? No, but I'm like, it's gonna go, let's go. And I'm trying to pull it up, and I'm thinking, you know, the torsion bar probably broke, I'm gonna try to help it, right? And it's not helping it. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm just gonna disconnect it. Our garage door is pretty lightweight, so it's pretty easy. So I disconnect it, and I'm like, oh, and it is stuck, man. I cannot figure out what's going on. I can't move it. I'm like, we gotta get somebody in here. Our cars are stuck in the garage, you know? So we go in, we make a few phone calls real quick, and pretty much the sum of it is, nobody's available on a Friday afternoon to come run out and try to fix the garage, right? And so I'm like, our cars are stuck. What are we gonna do? I'm like, I'm gonna go look one more time. This doesn't make sense. When I disconnect, it should just be able to roll up. So I go out there and I'm looking like, what is wrong with this torsion bar? I don't get it at all, how this could be holding it. And I'm like trying to do it. It's disconnected. And I walk over to the side and I notice the lock on the garage door has been bumped and slid over. And the garage door has been safely and securely locked from the inside. So praise God, our lock works. And I'm like, I just barely touch it and it slides back out, unlocks. I go over and push the button and it rolls right up. Man, I'm telling you, we accidentally bumped that lock closed and it was held closed. And until we figured out, I've got to release this, there's no hope. Reality, your heart might be locked closed right now. And it's time to say, Lord God, I'm ready to have my heart opened to you. Lord Jesus, I'm ready to hear what I need to hear about you. Do me a favor, just right where you are, just saying this. Lord, I'm ready to have my heart open, unlocked to you. First point here is just about willingness. I am willing to have my heart unlocked to you. All right? Point number two. Hear him. Truly hear him. Hear who Jesus Christ is and what he's saying to you. Hear him. Truly hear him. Here we go as we jump into verse 44. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, while he was still saying these things, you got to picture it. Peter's like, Christ is awesome. He heals. I've seen him heal. He does miracle work. I've seen him teach. I was there for it. We saw him. We heard him. I saw him die. I saw him die on the cross. I saw him risen from the dead. I ate with him. I laughed with him. I know this, Jesus Christ. He is judge of the living and the dead. Anyone, who believes in the name of Jesus Christ can be saved. I mean, as he's saying those words, all of a sudden, right then, the words still coming out of his mouth, he was still saying these things. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcision who had come with Peter were amazed. The Holy Spirit fell on them. Just so you know, this word fell, super important word. It literally is the same word that was used about the father of the prodigal son. The story of the son who took all of his inheritance and ran away to just live his life however he wanted. And he lived his life wantonly and he spent all he had and he was stuck in his selfishness and sin. And he decided, I'm coming home to my dad. Maybe he'll at least allow me to work like a servant in the home. There was such offense to taking the inheritance and walking away like you're dead to me, Dad. He's like, maybe he'll at least treat me like a servant when I come back. And so he went back to his father's house humbly and broken and recognizing he could not get it done himself. And it says in the prodigal son's story that the father out in the fields working looked up and he saw his son returning. He saw his son on the highlight skyline. And as he turns, it says he hiked up his robe, which was not cool back then, just so you know. He hiked up his robe and he started to run. They were like, the father did the most wrong thing socially, hiking up the robe and running across the open field. He ran to the son and he threw his arms around him and he pulled him in close. It says, and he fell on his son. This. He fell on his son. He pulled him in close. He wept out loud and celebrated, "My son has come home." That's the Holy Spirit responding with these people as he fell on them, pulling them in close and celebrating that they are willing to hear and believe. Anyone who believes that Jesus is risen from the dead and confesses him as Lord, Holy Spirit falls on and declares, "Come to me." You are welcomed in, and you are not pushed to the outside. God calling you in to the family. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. On how many? He does not selectively move in this room. He's moving on all who heard the word. It says, and the believers from among the circumcision who had come with Peter were amazed, jaw dropped. These people that came with Peter were like, all right, we'll go talk to the Gentile guy. I have no idea why we're doing this. He shares the truth about Jesus Christ, and he watches the Holy Spirit collapse down on them and pull them in, and all of a sudden they are in awe that these people are being saved. They're coming to Christ. Please hear me. The truth about Jesus Christ is not for a narrow, select, ethnic group. It is to go across every nation. It is for anyone who will believe that Jesus is risen from the dead and willing to confess him as Lord. And Peter, literally amazed along with them, it says, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. They were literally hearing these Gentile people say, God is awesome! Jesus Christ, he died for my sin. He is my hope and my hope alone. It isn't just me doing good works. It is you, God. It is all you. As they celebrated that God is Lord of all, that he is in charge, that he is judge and ruler, that they could sit underneath him and at his feet and be saved. Praise God, man. And we must admit that we are sinners. And we must believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. And we must confess him as Lord. Romans 10 says, that's saved. That alone. I believe you are risen and I confess you are Lord. Take over in my life. Please take over. Man, I'm telling you, this truth can be grasped from the simplest of years, from the youngest to the oldest. I know I was talking to my wife on the way in. She told me about a story, true story, just happened the last couple weeks, of someone in our body, probably in the fifth, sixth grade range, somewhere in there, and shared Christ with a friend. Just admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is risen. There's authority and power in his name, and confess him as Lord. Let him be in charge of your life and you're saved. And his friend accepted Christ right there. Please hear me, man. Our God moves in the smallest of ways to the biggest of ways. Do you know that God?
Thanks for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. If you are interested in hearing or viewing today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.summitpoint.org. Also, please join us for our Sunday services streamed online at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 4:30 p.m. You can find our online stream by clicking the banner on our website at www.summitpoint.org or by going directly to summitpoint.online.church. That's summitpoint.online.church. For more information or to contact us, please visit us online at www.summitpoint.org. That's www.summitpoint.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week as we seek to be completely His.